This is Yarra Valley Yarns, Episode 1, The Comeback.
Hello, I'm Matt Shaw, and thanks for joining me for this first episode of Yarra Valley Yarns, the podcast series about the people and places of the Yarra Valley. This first yarn is a ripper. It's all about how a local community came together and, through sheer determination, brought a beloved sporting club back from extinction and took it to premiership glory and beyond, and created a golden era for their club and their community in the process. The legacy of those achievements was significant and is still being felt more than half a century later. It all happened in a small town which was originally named Redlands for its rich red soil. From its earliest days, the town and its surrounding areas grew from agriculture, an industry which was further enhanced when the Lilydale to Warburton railway line was established in 1901. The town itself was created in 1885. In 1886, the town was renamed Seville after the daughter of a local resident. The local state school opened in 1887, and by 1890, the town had its own cricket team. But Seville waited years before a local football side was put together. The Bloods were formed in 1915. The club enjoyed the usual ups and downs, as well as an unavoidable break during World War II, before eventually winning their first premiership in 1953. But as former player Grant Lindsay explains, the club's first premiership win didn't translate to further success.
My dad, Jim Lindsay, was the captain of the 53 premiership side in Seville before the Seville Football Club folded up at the end at the following year because they wanted to put the club into First Division and they didn't have enough players to field the sides then. So they barely had enough players to field one side. So I guess back in those days it was pretty tough even then to get players, just like it is these days in the small country towns.
Jump forward 2 years to 1956, a milestone year for sport in Australia, being the year of the Melbourne Olympics. In Seville, it was the year that saw the official opening of the local War Memorial Pool, which was built almost entirely by local volunteers after a decade of dedicated fundraising efforts. 56 was also the year that the Seville Football Club merged with local rivals Wandon North and Warrialik football clubs to form Valley United. They would all play under that banner for 3 years before Wandon North left the alliance in 1959 to rejoin the Eastern District Football League. Seville and Warrialik remained as Valley United, losing premierships against Lilydale in 1960 and Poweltown in 1961. The 1962 season ended in success with their grand final win against Healesville. But, just like the premiership win 10 years earlier, things came to a screeching halt, for Seville at least. Sadly, Valley United was over, and by the time the 1963 season began, Warrialik had returned to the Yarra Valley Football League, playing under their own name once again. The new beginnings for Wandon North and Warrialik had effectively meant the end, once again, for the Seville Football Club. But the lack of a local footy club didn't mean that players from Seville had nowhere to play. Many of them pursued their love of the game at Wandon North or Warrialik. The better part of a decade was to follow before there were rumblings of change from within the town. There had been talk of reforming the club on and off over the intervening years, with much of the talk led by former players from the 1953 Premiership side and those who had represented Seville during the Valley United years.
Dick Lewis and a lot of the townspeople, Donnie Alfred, Gary Pye, nearly everybody in the township of Seville that had a business, and a lot of people that were just involved in the Seville township itself, they really wanted to get the Seville Football Club up and going again. And Dick Lewis, in my eyes, he was a real driving force behind that, because, you know, you'd go down to the... because Dick owned the licensed grocer in the bottle shop, so anybody that was like of football playing age or size, if you walked into the shop, Dick Lewis was, once we get the Seville Footy Club up and going, you're going to come and play, aren't you? And he wasn't really asking you, or he was suggesting that, you know, if you wanted to buy groceries and grog from him, you better be coming and playing football at Seville. And there was a lot of other driving forces too, like, you know, there was, you know, Max Heal and Val Sullivan, as I said, you know, Donnie Alfred, you know, and just a lot of the locals that had played football in Seville too, like, you know, my dad, Jimmy Lindsay, Gordon Dark, a lot of the locals that were still living in Seville, you know, they were rapt to think that we could get their club up and running again. So it was a great time.
As the 1970s dawned, those rumbles could no longer be ignored. As former Premiership player and Life member Ray Wallace explains, momentum gathered after a meeting took place.
It was a meeting in the Lewis's Foodland store one Saturday afternoon. What would happen, he used to shut the shop at 12 o'clock in those days. And what would happen is that Don Alford, Dick Lewis, Max Heal, and sometimes Alec Fraser or Gordon Dark and that, they'd all call in at 12:05 and that and go and have a few beers after he'd shut the shop. And then they spoke at length about the amount of kids that were playing football at Wandon that were from Seville. And like there was the Turners and the Lindsays and the DiCellos and the Corkins, you know, that lived in Seville but played football in Wandon. So they said, well, you know, why don't we start up our own football club? So a meeting was held in the hall of all interested parties to come along and have their say and get a sort of like a committee to sort of look into it and make a decision if they want to go down that path. The decision was made to do it. So the club started up, obviously, and then they opened the registrations and that.
But there was a significant problem. Not surprisingly, almost a decade in the wilderness had seen any potential players find clubs elsewhere. So the big steal began.
And then, of course, Wandon was decimated.
It was quite funny because most of us played football at Wandon, and Wandon would clear one brother but then wouldn't clear the other brother. Like, Wandon were quite happy to clear me, but they wanted to keep my brother because he'd won a couple of best and fairest and league best and fairest. They cleared Bob Corkin and wouldn't clear Kevin Corkin. They cleared Sam DiCello, but they were hesitant to clear Frank DiCello. So it took us a little while to get the club really, really going. But a lot of us kids that were only playing in juniors that came down from Wandon, you know, was myself, Graham Johnson, Tubby Lewis, Ian Lewis. There was quite a few of us that were on the borderline between playing under 17s or under 16s back then it was. And then playing at Seville in the first.
So this was the argument. They couldn't stop everybody because people lived in Seville. They lived there, so they couldn't stop them. Robert Lewis and myself came from Wurrialik. We were cleared, and another guy called Les Gilsonen, Mick Turner's brother-in-law. We were cleared from Wurri to Seville. Howard McClelland, another member, he came from Bort and played because he was working in the town. So that's basically how they got the team together.
You know, to have our own identity, I guess, growing up in Seville and having our own team rather than growing up in Seville and either playing for Wandon up the road or Wurrialik up the road further. So everybody who lived locally just really wanted to be a part of a great, successful team and couldn't wait for the club to get started and up and running.
You're listening to another great local story on Yarra Valley Yarns.
As part of their rebirth, the club institutes some significant changes. Their 1972 club, Guernsey, doesn't reflect the early days of the original club at all. From here on in, the reformed Seville Football Club would have an entirely new look, with new colours and a new name, the Seville Blues.
How Seville became the Seville Blues was the first president, Don Alford, and that was a former player and president of Croydon Football Club. And for those who don't know, Croydon Football Club are the same colours as Carlton Football Club. And what happened, Don Alford, living out on the Mombok Road there at Seville, and that became the first president of the Seville Football Club. And because no other team in the Yarra Valley Mountain District Football League had that particular jumper, we then took it on and became the Seville Blues.
Along the way, a new theme song was selected, which also followed the lead of Carlton and Croydon. The tune is the famous Lily of Laguna, written in 1898. It's still sung to this day. So with a full side led by coach Peter Harrington from Boronia, the club is back after 9 years and almost 20 years since their last premiership as the Seville Football Club. Ray Wallace describes the excitement of the historic 1972 comeback season.
The 1972 season was a successful season. It initially started in 1971 with the recruiting of Peter Harrington, who was the then Boronia Football Club coach. And not only that, he brought 8 players with him from Boronia to the club. All of a sudden, we had about 25 players on the list, 24, 25 players on the list. So away we went. Harrington was appointed, and away the club went. So obviously, starting at 1972, we started down that ground and that with those old sheds, the old rooms. The committee got together with town support, and just about everybody in the town was sort of pretty excited about Seville fielding a team, and a lot of people in the town got right behind it, and people really came from everywhere in the town to come along and just do their little bit. I can remember going down the ground one day and seeing 2 guys up on the roof of the old rooms down there with mops, painting the dark blue colours of the jumper of the club with mops. It was quite a sight to see. The energy was fantastic. There was a lot of people. Keep in mind, in 1972, Seville was only like a little village. And, of course, in those days, you'd walk down the street to get a paper and that would take you an hour. These days, you walk down the street and you virtually know no one. So it was like a village scene there. Everybody knew everybody else. And, of course, when the word of the footy club starting up spread and that, it was just a lot of people came and jumped on board. We kicked off the season with a win. Round one, we all jumped on a bus. In the meantime, before we jumped on the bus to go to Marysville for our first game, on the Friday night up at the pub, Kevin French, who was very heavily involved, he owned the Wirreelik Hotel, he was very heavily involved with Wirreelik Footy Club. He was telling Dick Lewis that night before the game, he said, look, you know, don't be disheartened about, losing games and that through the year. He said, you might win a couple here and a couple there. He said, don't be disheartened. You're going in for your first year and that, and all you got to do is just play it out. And next year you'll get some other more players and you'll get better, et cetera, and away you'll go. But, you know, good luck with that. So anyway, in the meantime, Don Alford had organised us all to look like million-dollar men. So, and what I mean by that is that he organised for the entire team to be fitted out with Seville Football Club blazers, with a Seville Football Club tie, and we all jumped onto this bus to go to Marysville for our first game, and we're all in blazers, ties, and grey pants, and that, and looking $1 million. Not even played a competition game. Up to Marysville for our first game, and we came out victors. The other thing about that day was that Mark Costigan led the under-17 team onto the field. So Mark Costigan actually was the first Seville football player to take the field in a competitive game as captain of the under-17s. So they're the only two sides that we had that year, a senior team and an under-17 team. So we won that game. So the second game was back to Seville for South Belgrave, which was a tough game. It was nip and tuck all day. In the end, Harrington made a move by moving Sam DiCello to centre-half forward, the game being pretty tight, and Sam being the backman, missed two or three goals that he should have kicked, and the eventual result was that we went down by, from memory, 10 points. Harrington, and I remember this to this day, Harrington came off the ground, and I remember him saying to Dick Lewis, and that is, he walked into the rooms, you know, "The loss is a loss," he said, "but we won't lose another game for the rest of the year." And that's exactly what happened. But overall, the season was very successful. And it was due to Harrington himself. He was 6'4", Peter, and he's a former Richmond Reserves player. And the blokes that came with him and that were also excellent footballers to go with it. So we got ourselves into the second semi-final, winning the second semi-final, and then into the grand final against Marysville. This game was played at the old Healesville ground, Queen's Park, at Healesville, obviously. And we played Marysville in a grand final, which was pretty tight all the way through. But at the end, Seville came out eventual winners. And what a way to celebrate. And it was just on for young and old, and the whole town was virtually involved in the celebration of the club.
With a shiny new Premiership Cup and a flag flying in the club rooms, the next task for the club was to update their very old and outdated facilities. Not that the old facilities didn't have a certain charm.
We had some really, really old rooms that they used to use back in the 50s. And they were really small, they were tiny rooms. There was a piano in there, there was an open fireplace in there, and you had to go outside and light the boiler to get the showers going, to have a shower after the game. And mind you, the water didn't last very long. I think the first probably four or five blokes had hot showers, the rest got cold, what was left. But it was like when we won the our first game, I can remember that Alec Fraser would sit on the piano and play the piano, and we'd all sit around and sing, you know, "We Are the Seville Blues," and he'd play the piano, and then he'd just keep playing all the old songs, and it would just go on for hours and hours, and quite often we'd still be there well after midnight, you know, singing to all the old tunes and playing along. So that was really good. I mean, and the ground, like these days, it would, if there wasn't 6 to 8 inches of mud and water over the whole ground, you wouldn't see one blade of grass on the ground when we were playing. The conditions back then were pretty ordinary, but I don't think we'd change it for the world. It was, we all had a great time back there. It was fantastic.
Looking back now, and personally speaking, and that, I was just so happy that I was part of it. To go through 72 and experience the success was great. To play in a premiership team was fantastic, and to be part of that team, it was just great. And the reason I say that is because after that, when we went into the higher division in 73, 74, 75, we didn't experience the success that we had in 72, obviously because we were playing in a higher grade. To remember those days and to remember the winning days and that, it just brings back good memories every time we think about it. And when I get together with a lot of my former players and teammates they all feel the same thing. The social life was fantastic. The playing days were fantastic. The camaraderie and everything like that was fantastic. And the support, like I've mentioned before, from the town and everybody, and that was nothing short of great. I've just got nothing but great memories of the whole era of that time.
Next time on Yarra Valley Yarns, The Seville Football Club continues their rebuild after the 1972 comeback season and premiership win, with new facilities and a world record achievement. My thanks to the Seville Community House, Yarra Valley FM 99.1, Grant Stick-Lindsay, Ray Wallace, Stan Haig, Joe Cooper and the Seville Football Netball Club. Lily of Laguna was played by R.G. Padler and is used with permission.
Yarra Valley Yarns is written, produced and presented by Matt Shaw and proudly supported by the Yarra Rangers Council.